Hello and welcome to David's Book Talk. And today we're talking to James Thompson. He's written a series of books that are set in Finland. The second one, which is just out, is called Lucifer's Tears, and he's here to talk about it. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
How are you? I just finished Lucifer's Tears, literally right before this interview, and it's just absolutely fantastic. This is the second one, of course, and after Snow Angels, and I just really enjoyed this book and tremendously.
Oh, thanks a lot.
The first thing I want to say is that I notice how much more intense this book is than the first one. Was that intentional? I think this one is much more complex than the first one. I mean, when I read the first one, it seemed more... Although, I mean, they're both complex, but this one's much more... So there's a lot more going on in this book.
Yeah, it moves fast. A lot happens. Right. I'll agree with you there.
And there's a lot of different plot points to it. I mean, there's a lot of different things going on at once, and especially at the end, everything's coming together at the end, and it's just wonderful. It's wonderful how you do that. And it's not easy to write different things in a mystery novel like that.
It's hard work, let me tell you. If you're going to take multi-plots and tie them together, it takes a great deal of planning.
Right.
A lot of daydreaming goes into that.
Yeah. Tell me how you got started on this series, and tell me where the idea came from and how it all came into being.
Well, where should I begin? I had written some books, and I hadn't made any sales, and those books were thrillers. And I'd been writing for the U.S. market. And then, actually, it wasn't my idea. I forget who said it, but somebody says, why don't you write a crime novel set in Lapland? Because nobody's done it, not in Finnish Lapland, anyway. And I thought, oh, that's an interesting idea. And I had never written a crime novel. And I really had no idea what I was doing. So I just sort of figured it out as I went along. If you notice, it's not heavy on police procedure. It's not a CSI book. It's a book about people, really. And it took me a while to do it because I was working on my master's degree at the time, and I had to stop and write my master's thesis and this and that. And I worked on it off and on for... I don't know, 3 years, something like that. And finally found to take it seriously. I have a pretty strange story about getting published. You know how most people fight to get published and send out lots of letters and look for literary agents and all that stuff?
You didn't have to do that?
I didn't do anything like that. It's a dual story. What happened was, I've been a bartender most of my life, and I was working in a bar, and this guy had been my customer for a while, and I didn't know that he was a fiction editor. And I had written a book that had failed to sell in the U.S., but I was told it was too graphic, too tough, too this, too that, too politically... controversial, and when I explained to him why it had been rejected there, he says, I want to read that book. And within a very short time, we had a deal for it. And so I had been writing, and no one had paid any attention to me for more than a decade, and suddenly, out of nowhere, I had a book deal. And I said, well, I got this other book I've been working on. And I showed him a one-page synopsis, and he bought it right off the bat. So now, I got two books. Well, I had been working on snow angels, and finally put nose to grindstone and really worked on it and finished it. And he was thrilled. He said, in his opinion, I'd have effectively killed the whole genre in the region. There's no point to write another crime novel set up north after that.
Well, I must say.
So,
right.
The story goes on.
Right.
So he bought it too. So now I got three books in Finland.
Right.
Before the first one's published. But independently of this, a friend of mine knows my U.S. agent, Matt Sobel. Sobel, he's an industry legend. He represents James Ellroy. He represented Eddie Bunker. And the list is really long.
Wow.
But this guy read Snow Angels, and he wrote to Nat, says, I think you really should check this book out. So Nat told him to tell me to send him the book, and 4 days later, Nat sent me an email and said he wanted to represent it. So now I've got things happening on two continents. And within a couple of months, Nat had sold it into six countries.
Well, now
I guess it's about 10, something like that.
Right.
10 different publishers.
Well, I read Snow Angels. When I read Snow Angels, I really enjoyed it. But this book, Lucifer's Tears, is really going to put you on the map, because this book is absolutely out of this world. I mean, this is a book you start out, you think it's going to be. You're not sure what to think, and then the more you read it, the more you just realize how wonderful it really is. I mean, the way it's written, the things that are happening, everything in this book is interesting, from what the crime itself all the way to the personal things that are happening to him. How do you say his name, just so I know?
Karivar.
Okay. And being
if you can roll an R, then just say Kari.
Now, this guy...
In Finland, we say Karivara.
Right.
But you can just say Karivara.
Oh, it sounds so nice that way. It's funny when you read these names, you're not even
yeah,
always sure. You're not always sure how to say the name, so... Especially when you're American and not used to these names.
Well, nobody can pronounce Finnish correctly unless you were born here or have lived here for a really long time.
Right.
So, no worries.
I have to ask you about the migraines. Now, of course, Kari is suffering from these migraines, and you suffer from them yourself. Is that true?
I have one right now.
You have one right now. Now, is this something that happens all the time to you, or does it just happen at certain times?
Well, it started becoming constant somewhere around spring 2007, and it peaked out. I went to Spain last winter, and it got really, really bad there. I mean, it was like I was on death's door, and I made it back to Finland, and I got a neurologist that was finally able to help me, and I'm not cured, but I'm way more functional than I was. I mean, my record is puking off 9 pounds in 5 hours.
Wow.
It was like that. Yeah.
Now, do you think this helps you write better?
That kind of thing is well, it changed the way I write, because obviously if you're in that kind of condition, you can't sit at a keyboard, you can't even get out of bed, or a lot of times even open your eyes. So, early in my writing days, I was one of these guys who would write several drafts of a book. write. Until I know what the story is, I don't write anything.
Hmm.
Except scribble some notes.
Right.
And that's the result of the migraines, is because I had to do it that way. If you can't sit and write, then you have to just I would just lay there and play the thing over and over in my head like a movie and look for story holes and new plot twists. And so now, like that book, Lucifer's Tears, it was basically a one-draft book. I wrote the last 15 pages in one day. I mean, it was edited afterwards, of course, but so that's now my method, and that's how I'm doing this book too. The one I'm writing, book three. I got a deal for two more.
Oh, that's wonderful.
With Putnam for a total of four for the series.
Well, I'm totally obsessed with this series now. You realize that? I mean, spending all night reading this book, which is what I did, this is one of these characters you just can't wait to read more about. I mean, especially, you know, the things that happen in this book, which there's a lot of stuff that happens in this book, and now I feel like, you know, where's number three? I'd love to have number three to read, you know? So I'm in kind of like a withdrawal.
You know, when I wrote that book, I finished it, and I remember typing the end, and I thought, I've just gone too far, and because it's a pretty tough book.
Right. I was thinking that. It's funny you should say it. I was thinking that myself last night, that, wow, he really has gone far with this.
And sorry, I'm drinking tea.
It's okay.
And I wondered if what kind of reaction I was going to get out of that, or if my agent and publisher were going to look at it and go, are you insane? or what? But it was the book that I wanted to write, and they loved it, and so far the critics have loved it. I mean, everybody's been really kind to me. All the three of the four major review publications have given it starred ratings, and the reviews that have come in since it was released on St. Patty's Day.
Right.
I mean, they've just been glowing. People have been really, really kind to me with this.
Well, you obviously have some major talent.
Overwhelmed.
You have some major talent here. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And it's sealed in reading Lucifer's Tears. You realize that you're really a talented writer.
Well, thank you.
Now, you're also up for an Edgar Award for Snow Angels for Best First Novel, which is exciting, too.
Yeah, that really surprised me.
But, and I think you have. I think
it would never have occurred to me that they would nominate me.
Right. And you probably never think of that when you're writing. You just have to write the best book you've got. You don't think about winning awards, I guess.
I never think about anything like that at all. I try not to even think about if people are going to like the book or not. I just... my goal when I write a book is to tell the truth of the story. You know, I don't mean the truth of the world. I mean the truth of the story. You know, not pull any punches. What is natural for these people to do? Where should this truly go? And when I'm writing, those are my only concerns. I don't think about anything else. I mean, if I try to anticipate what people are going to like, I'm going to write something that people hate. And especially, I've lived in Finland for 13 years. I am totally out of touch with American culture.
Mm-hmm.
I went there for the first time in 10 years, and it was like a foreign country to me. I just felt very lost there after being gone so long. So I would have no idea how to write for an American audience if I wanted to.
I don't want you to write.
I want you to write exactly. I really write for fan.
Right. Well, I want you to write exactly the way you're writing. I think it's fantastic. I wouldn't want you to change a thing.
Well, thanks.
Now, what's the temperature right now?
Very finished stories.
Yeah. What's the temperature right now at where you are right now?
Probably not off state, I'll sit on local. I don't know, somewhere around zero, probably.
It's zero right now. I'm just curious, because you mentioned the temperature a lot in this book, which is fascinating, because every once in a while you'll say, oh, it's 10 below zero, and I'm thinking, well, what does that feel like? You know, we never get that temperature that low here. I mean, we did have some cold temperatures this winter, but nothing close to that. But.
Well, after a while, you learn to like the cold. Like, if it's +1 degrees, I'm talking in Celsius. If it's 33 degrees, it sucks because the snow starts to melt and you're walking around and it's like walking around in a bucket of shit. And instead of snowing, it's sleeting and it's terrible. If it's a little bit below freezing, you know, 5-10 degrees below freezing, it's really, really nice out. The snow sticks and it's pretty and white and it's easy to walk around. And so, yeah, I much, much prefer that.
Now, all the descriptions of Finland in this book, the little things like the heated sidewalks, you talk about the heated sidewalks, these are all true things. I mean, this is really the way Finland is.
Yeah, I actually did that on one sidewalk or on one street, the major tourist street downtown. They did that, and it really pissed me off. Like, we can spend money on education or medical services, but no, we don't want our tourists to get feet wet. My Jesus Christ.
So you're able to rant a little bit about the way life is in Finland, some of the things that are happening there while you're writing, too, which is you get all your frustrations out, too.
Yes, I do.
What is it about?
I sure do.
What is it about the crime novel that so fascinates you? And why do you write crime novels?
Why crime novels? Yeah. I can't imagine writing any other kind of novel. Well, what is a crime novel? You know, when you take it down, like, it's social commentary, basically. A crime, okay, especially, I'm considered a Scandinavian crime wave writer, so they tell me, especially in Scandinavia, the social aspects of the stories are much more important than the crimes generally. Like, the crime is almost secondary to discussion of society and problems in society. And I'm a noir writer, and whatever country you're talking about, noir is the protagonist or the main character, whatever you want to call him, is nearly always the sociopath. And the stories revolve around problems and injustice in society.
Right.
I mean, there's a reason he got that way. So.
Why don't you explain for people who haven't read
this? So that's it.
Right. Why don't you explain for people who haven't read Lucifer's Tears exactly what it's about? Just give them a little bit without giving anything away.
Well, one solving a murder of a woman of a wealthy businessman is very brutally murdered, and it's quite clear that politicians and other important people do not want the murderer, who is obviously her husband, he doesn't even really pretend otherwise, brought to justice. They want some guy framed up for it, and the question is why. And it's a dual plot story, and the other side is about a guy who was a hero in what's called our Winter War, which is against the USSR in 39-40, and it was thousands and thousands and thousands of Russians poured across the Finnish border, or tried to, and our little Finnish army slaughtered them, slaughtered them like animals, and it's developed a mythology around it. It's really the crowning moment in Finnish history, and well, like many such things, this mythology has developed into things that it wasn't, and I started reading books by historians who had delved deeply into the subject, a new history that isn't taught in schools yet. Very, very few people know about it. And I found out that there was actually a German Stalag on Finnish soil, and Finns were helping to run the thing. And so this guy, who was a Finnish hero, is accused of war crimes, and they want to extradite him to Germany and prosecute him for accessory to murder, much like they did with, I don't know how you say his name, Demjanjuk,
mm-hmm.
in America. It is that kind of scenario. And
he's also 90 years old.
Also, yeah. So, it's that kind of scenario, and the government, they absolutely are not going to let this guy be extradited to Germany, but they have to weasel out of it. And it happens that Kari's grandfather served with this hero, and so they send Kari to deal with the old man and construct some way to get out of it. And the problem is, when Kari goes there, the old man admits, he says, "Oh yeah, sure." That's what happened. We were lining people up and shooting them in the head. We were pitching them into bomb craters, machine gunning them to death by the hundreds and covering them up with bulldozers. Yeah, that's it. So he has to deal with this too. And becomes even harder for him because the old man reminds him very much of his grandpa, and he really likes the guy. So those are the bases of the two plots.
Right.
And in the end, they will tie together.
Oh, they tie together really great.
Some passion.
And we also get to meet.
We don't want to spoil things too much.
No. We also get to meet Kate's brother and sister, which. You're very good with characters and confrontations with characters. I really enjoy the way. I mean, it's like you get to watch a train wreck, you know, because you know something's going to happen, and it's fun to watch what's going to happen between the characters. You're very good at doing that.
Thanks, but I suppose you're talking about the culture clash.
Yes, absolutely. But it's so much fun to watch happen. I mean, I say watch, but when you read the book, the characters are so. I mean, everything's fine one minute, and then all of a sudden, boom, something happens, and it's fun to watch.
Well, that in this case, it's a pretty. It was pretty easy to write. I mean, Finnish views, political views, a Okay, you take a fundamentalist Christian Republican and bring him to Finland and talk to the average Finn about politics, and there's going to be a big argument.
Right.
This is a social democracy. It's capitalism isn't. We don't admire capitalism here.
Mm-hmm.
Nor do most people support American wars in any way, shape, or form. I suppose that most people here view America as imperialist.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's definitely the sense, living here in America, that money it means an awful lot to people, and it is kind of, after a while, you know, it does bother you quite a bit. Unless you're into it too, I guess, then it wouldn't bother you too much.
Well, globalization, and it's changing here. Personal wealth seems to be gaining more important in people's consciousnesses, but education is free, healthcare is free. You don't have those concerns. You know, in America, if you can't generate a certain amount of money and you get sick, or, you know, you're screwed.
Yes.
And here, you don't have to worry about that. When I got sick with migraines, I didn't have any money. And I needed to have MRIs and batteries of tests. And if I'd been in the States, God knows it would have cost tens of thousands of dollars before it was over. But here, it might, like a trip to the doctor and get an MRI might cost me $15 or something.
Wow. That's an amazing thing. I mean, here, the healthcare costs are skyrocketing. Just every day they get worse. But do you have a title for the third book yet? I mean, can we at least look forward to the title? Or is it something you don't announce until the book comes out?
Tentatively, the title is True Finns.
True Finns.
That's True Finns. Yeah.
That's certainly different from the other two titles. It intrigues me no end. Is it hard for you to pick titles?
Yeah. It always takes me a really long time, and then I pick a title or two, and then editors don't like it, and da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, I think I'm just not very good at it. But this one, it has a basis. There's a political party. It's an extreme right-wing party, and it's called Perussuomalaiset, which translates literally to True Finns. And this book has much about Finnish politics in it. The Nordic countries are going through a really extreme right-wing phase, anti-foreigner. I mean, it's ugly. Hmm. It's ugly. And this new book has a lot to do with that.
Well, you're not afraid. It's amazing. You're not afraid to write about anything, and I really admire that. I mean, there's no restraint in your books, and it just makes them more realistic and more totally believable, which is nice.
Yeah, this thing with the history and my discussion of World War II, I think that's going to upset a lot of people here. In what I wrote about World War II and Lucifer's Tears.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I suppose, when I write about political issues in this new book, it'll be the same, but, you know, it is a democracy.
Now,
if people don't like it, they don't have to read it.
That's true, but I hope they do, because it's a tremendous book. Now, are your books released the same time?
Actually, I sell well here.
Do you? Are your books released the same time in Finland as they are in the United States here?
Not necessarily. Snow Angels came out first here before the States, like pretty far, and it came out here on March 2nd, and it came out in the States on March 17th.
Oh, okay.
Publishers, once I sign the contract, they can publish it whenever they like.
Exactly.
One publisher still hasn't published Snow Angels, and they contracted on it, geez, a really, really long time ago. I have no idea why they haven't published it, especially since it's done pretty well around the world. It's not my book. It's their book. They paid for it. It's theirs.
Now, you're being compared to Stieg Larsson, too. And on the front of the jacket I'm reading here, it says that if people love Stieg Larsson, they'll love you. I mean, I think you're very, very different writers. But, I mean, the fact that you both write books set, I mean, his in Sweden and yours in Finland, I guess that's why they're comparing it. But you're both very, I mean, you couldn't be more different as writers.
I got to go along with you there. That's true.
I mean, you're much more of an intense writer.
There's something to it. Yeah. I mean, our styles are way different. Our characterizations are way different. His approach is way different. But marketing has done it to some extent, but reviewers have done it a great deal. And, you know, on the social networking sites, I've picked it up there, too. You know, if you like Stieg Larsson, you like Jim Thompson. So there's something there. And I got this question from a journalist the other day, and I said,
the credit on your account is low.
Why that comparison is made.
Right. Well, this has been very enjoyable to talk to you. We just about run out of time, but the book again is called Lucifer's Tears by James Thompson. It's out in all your bookstores now. It's been wonderful to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and we'll stay in touch.
We will. Thank you very much. And this has been David's Book Talk, and we'll talk next time.
On your